Did you get to see everyone out this morning? If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 through 26. Bringing you one more lesson from Hebrews that we've been studying in the morning class, just to expand upon it and bring us another lesson about the assembly and its importance. So this week I've seen a report on the news, and they were talking to various people, and they were asking them if they were spiritual or religious. Of course, everyone equated spirituality with believing that there was a God out there, but not being attached or following any organized religion, as they might put it. So you had people dividing up. Basically, they were religious if they went to some church, spiritual if they just believed in God. Well, there used to be another word for spiritual, and that's basically, I guess you would call, agnostic. Believing that there was a superior being that created the world, but that you didn't know who it was and how to worship them. So worshiping is part of what we do. And worshiping as an assembly is part of what we do also. There's a cartoon I've seen of a mother and a son walking home in their church clothes with their Bible tucked underneath their arms. The mother says to the son, "Now when the preacher asked what the sermon was about, don't say 3 hours." So what do we get out of the assembly? Is it just we spent some hours someplace, or do we get more out of it? You know, it's a blessing as well as an important responsibility for the Christian to assemble regularly with other Christians. We have examples of Christians assembling from Acts 20, verse 7. We have an explicit command not to forsake our assembling together, which is from Hebrews 10:25. Let's read our text in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, as all the more as you see the day draw near. So there are three reasons that we come and assemble. And it's to worship God in Christ, praise and devotion. We sing songs here, and we praise God, and we think about what God has done for us. Also to encourage each other. That takes place when we come together. It's very encouraging this morning, the conversation we had in class. And I encourage that even more, because we can learn from each other, and it's beneficial when we discuss these things. And to receive encouragement ourselves. Nothing lifts a Christian up from the world that we have to live in each and every day than to come and assemble with people who are all headed in the same direction, all headed towards that goal of salvation in Christ, and all trying to work in and live in this world without being a part of it. That's difficult. So, what do we receive from worshiping? Well, there's the activities. And these activities that we do accomplish the goal of bringing us close to God. So, what do? Well, we pray. Now, we have several examples of prayer, of, you know, praying in groups in the New Testament, Acts 4, 23 and 24, and chapter 12, 5 through 12, all have public acts of praying there. Praying as an assembly for the same goal. Now, the value of group assembly and prayer is implied in James 5, 16. If such is true concerning the prayer of one righteous man, how much more the prayers of many persons? We come together as a like mind. Not as one mind, hopefully that we don't have to come together to make up one mind, but of a like-mindedness that we have in the goal. Prayer not only blesses or praises God, but it also blesses us. It acknowledges our place in God's kingdom. what we need from God and what God gives to us. And we learned of His great power that can give it to us. In your heart, when you're sitting there and someone gives that prayer, that public prayer, say to yourself that you acknowledge it and you agree with it. And of course, amens are always welcome, acknowledging that. Now, secondly, when we get together, we're not only praying, but we sing. The commands to sing, we can find those in Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16, Hebrews 13, 15. And the emphasis lies on praising God, on teaching one another, on making melody in your heart. So the emphasis is not only how we sound, but on how, what we say and how we feel. Now, some people take it to an extreme where emotion is the only thing that they get out of an assembly in church. But then we don't want to take it to the other extreme and totally make it devoid of emotion. We're singing praises to God. That should make us feel good. That should uplift us, cause us to feel joyful and say, you know, great, I'm finally separate from the world with a group of others who feel the same way, and we're praising God. We're focusing totally on God at this moment. So when we're listening to these songs, let them touch our hearts. Let them apply to us. Let them teach us what they can about God. And concentrate on engaging the mind and the heart. We're all pulled today in so many different directions that it's very hard sometimes to sit down and focus on one thing. It gets so bad that, you know, even if you're watching your favorite program, you're kind of thinking of other things. So it takes an effort to focus on the assembly and to give God even that little portion of time where we can say that we're pretty much separated from the world. Other times we should give God His due as we go through life, but we're having to give God His due or His worship or praise while we're doing other things. It's a divided focus. So, get what we can out of that singing. Let it lift us up and let us have some emotions to us of joy. Then, of course, we engage and hear the Word of God, whether it be in class or whether it be in lessons. So a minister was going to lead a crusade in a little South Carolina town, and he needed to mail a letter before that event. He asked a little boy who was walking down Main Street how he could get to the post office. After the boy had given him directions, the minister said, "If you come to church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "No thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office." The assembly allows everyone to share and learn, even the minister, even the teacher. We all share together. We all grow together. And we all come together when we share together. Teaching or preaching the Word of God was part of worship from the very beginning. In Acts 2, when Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 20, in verse 7, they heard the Word of God. For it is the Word of God that we can grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 tells us that we can grow spiritually from that. I was this morning, talked about in class, he said, anything we do, we show ourselves approved if we learn about it. Whether it's mowing the lawn, you know, if we learn not to stick our hand underneath the blades while it's turning, which that's another thing my uncle did the story I told you this morning, to clear out some trash while it was running. That was a good lesson for him to learn. But everything we do, we learn. And the more we learn about it, the more we can grow. You talked about computers and how they just dumped all those computers on you. And you have to learn how to put the boards in, connect them together, and get them to working. Certainly some instructions would have helped. The more we learn about anything, whether it be God the kingdom, or whether it's about what we do in daily life. The more we learn, the better it is for us. How we listen to the proclamation of God's Word is an indication of our devotion to God. We should be quick to hear what God's Word has to say. From James 1, verses 17 through 19. We should be quick to hear the Word of God because it's the words of salvation. It's important to receive God's Word with that attitude and a willingness to receive it. Just bringing up the class again. We talked about people who we wanted to share God with, and as soon as you mentioned going to church or anything like that, they would shut you off. They didn't want to hear about it anymore. But we should be willing to hear God's Word, and we should be willing to accept God's words and follow God's words when He talks to us. The more we learn, the more we can grow. Then we have the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. We know that Jesus, in the memorial feast instituted by Jesus Himself, did that. We learn from the Lord's Supper, His sacrifice, and just how important that sacrifice here is to us. Jesus uses the metaphor of eat, this is my body, and drink, this is my blood. That's the strength of the language He uses to show that we cannot survive without food and liquid sustenance. And just like that, that's what Jesus is to us, survival. We know that His sinless body was given up for us in sacrifice so that we might be saved. It should be done with all seriousness and appropriateness. Consider this, that sustains us, and that only sustains us. A time to reflect upon our relationship with Him. How close are we to Jesus? Because it's only through Jesus we can get close to God. And we do it in remembrance of Him. Again, I know it's hard, but try to focus, try to think about that sacrifice and what He went through at that time. And really, truly, try to shut everything out as it takes place. It's critically important. Then we come to the collection. A preacher announced from the pulpit, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is we have enough money to retire the mortgage of the church. A sigh of relief went out through the congregation. They thought it was great. The preacher continued, but the bad news is the money is still in your pocket. Now, the early church can be known for its love and its sharing one another. Acts 2 and 44, and again in chapter 4, the 32. Such love was beyond those in the local congregation. They shared it amongst each other. In Acts 11, we have about money going to aid others. We learned in Hebrews chapter 13 about being hospitable to people. In time, they provided for the needy. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 talks about meeting those needs. The primary focus of the collection was to provide for needy Christians, locally and abroad, including those who had devoted their lives to the preaching of the gospel and to help them. It tells us as we prosper, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, given with a willing mind, 2 Corinthians 8 tells us that. According to what one has in 2 Corinthians 8 again. And as he purposes in his heart, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Whatever one can give cheerfully and not grudgingly like they have to is what God wants. God wants us to freely give of ourselves. He wants us to give as He's given to us. But you have to feel it. You have to want it. You have to know that and feel good that when you put that offering in there, that the gospel is going to be furthered. That when there's a need, we're going to help. That when something needs to be there, it's going to be there. That's what we give, because God has given to us. So, how do we get the most out of our assemblies? How do we get the most of our time here? That it's not a grudging time for us that, well, I got to go punch the clock again at church, you know, let God know I was here and, you know, make sure I tell him that. You think that's what God wants? Would you want a visit from someone who comes up and says, well, I hadn't seen you in years, so I figured while I was here, I might as well take some time to look at you. Will we feel that that was a comfortable visit? Will we feel, you know, that this person cared for us? So that's how we approach God. And it's so important today to know how our brothers and sisters are doing. This morning, just on the news, they had, I think it's Meowmix, had Catacatter, where you could learn to know your cat better. And on there was the amazing Creston. I think we've all seen that magician. He does a lot of debunking of people now. But he was there, and he made something that really made sense. He says a lot of people know their pets. They can tell when the dog needs to go out, or the cat needs this, or you can tell by the way they bark, if they're barking at the other dog, or if they're barking at something outside, or when they're really angry. He said, we know them better than we know other people. We do need to get to know other people and know how they feel and have that same intuition of when they may or may not need our help. I know that harkens back to last week's sermon, but I thought I'd throw that in as part of the assembly. Because how else would you know if you don't see them? So we need to keep in mind who is present in our assemblies as we come together. Our brethren in Christ, people who appreciate being encouraged and hopefully encouraging others, who appreciate what we have together, and our visitors. I have to commend everybody. I've visited churches when I've traveled that you almost felt like the invisible man when you went in there. And maybe if you were lucky, a few people might, you know, venture up and greet you. But I have to say that everyone here, when there's a visitor, takes the time to meet and greet them. And that's a wonderful thing. We don't have to have an appointed person, because that person is going to be well greeted and shown what it's like to come into the house of God. So we need to always remember that. You need to get out of it what you put into it. So many people go for an experience at a church and they want to hear some good singing and they want to have a concert type atmosphere and they want to see a show almost, a three-ring circus. But what we get out of it is just as important as what we put into it. Say, well, what do you put into it? You know, it's basically the preacher gets up and he says a message. But setting our mind to the right channel, so to speak, that we need to hear right now. Putting our minds in that frame of mind that we can get something here that we can apply to the rest of our lives. We can energize our batteries, our spiritual batteries, and grow a little bit. And that's true with everything. Physical exercise, hobbies, what we do. We get out of it what we put into it. If we go at it half-heartedly, it's going to look like a half-hearted job. We can tell when a structure was put up by someone who didn't care about it. It's all crooked. So that is why we assemble. That is why the writer of Hebrews said not to forsake the assembly. Because that is the start of going down that path of falling away from God, of not having your spiritual energy recharged, not meeting people who can encourage you, not meeting, having opportunities to sing the praises of God and to learn of God's Word. Rather, our attitude should be like that expressed by David in Psalm 122, verse 1. Let's turn over there quickly. In Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Did you wake up this morning and say, great, it's Sunday, going to church? Or did you wake up and say, oh great, it's Sunday, I guess I got to go to church? Neglecting the assembly is detrimental to our growth in Christ. Do we express our love of God and our fellow Christians as we should? One of the greatest spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ is the life of this fellowship that we have in our public gatherings. We should always be looking to take full advantage of those opportunities. Having been bored by the preacher, Jack came out of the church before he had finished his sermon. Outside, he met a little friend who was ready to go fishing and said, has he finished then? He replied, oh yeah, he's finished, but he just won't stop. Well, I'll stop with Hebrews 10:26. If we look at Hebrews 10:26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. He said, verse 24 and verse 25, to avoid verse 26. When a person begins to move away from God, he begins to move away from salvation, and he begins to move towards sin. And then, after a time, they just go back into sin, and there no longer remains that sacrifice for that sin. If we want to worship God in heaven, if we want to gain that heavenly inheritance that we have, we need to always remember and focus on why we're here. It's not just to punch a clock, put in our time, say when we're here, or what have you. It's to experience Christ, it's to experience God, and it's to sing His praises and get ready for that next work week when we have to go out into the world and have it beat us down like it does and draw us away from God. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?